want to thank you tonight, those that have come out to pray this evening, those that are fasting and praying and believing God for other people as well as for our own victories, and believing that even in this age of darkness, that there's still light, there's still hope, there's still strength. And quite often, it's at the moments of the deepest darkness that the greatest victory comes. And I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, the scripture does tell us that joy comes again in the morning. I want to go into the past, and I want to go into the future, and then talk about the present just for the next 10 minutes or so. In the Old Testament, God's own people were held captive in a place that they no longer wanted to be, and the place that they're in no longer wanted them. And so it was kind of a catch-22 situation for them. They only wanted to keep them, to make them subservient to their agenda, to serve them. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand towards heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." In other words, God's saying, I'm sending a darkness to this nation that's trying to hold you captive, and the darkness is going to be so thick that you can touch it. I don't know if I'm just being a little extreme or not, but I spent about 3 hours yesterday just walking around this area of the city, and I feel like I'm living in that moment. The darkness, I can touch it. You can taste it. You can feel it. The anger boiling beneath the surface of so many people, the behaviors which people should be ashamed of and yet are doing these things in public, the cursing on cell phones, the anger that seems to be rising in so many people's heart, this sense of hopelessness that's coming upon a world that is trying to govern itself without the governance of God. And when people try to do that and try to captivate the testimony of Christ, which is what Egypt was doing, the end result is darkness. And we are now spiraling into a darkness in this nation. There is no escaping it. And so the scripture says, "So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." And this is the promise that God makes to you and to me and to every generation. No matter how dark it gets, there is light for the people of God. There is light. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 that in the last days, he's talking in the context of the last days, because Matthew 24 is all about the last days. He's responding to the question, what will be the sign of your coming and what will those days look like? And then he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 25, it will be like people who will, the darkness will be so dark that people without the light of God in them can't see any hope for the future. They can't see the hand of God. They don't see anything coming their way, but there will be another people who have light. They have oil. He spoke about it as people who have wisdom. They have oil in their lamps. And no matter how dark it gets in society, they have a voice, and their voice is saying, "The bridegroom is coming." The bride can hear him, and I can see him. Can you see him? And that's going to be our message in this generation. I see Jesus. I see the hand of God everywhere. I see the touch of God. I see the mercy of God. In spite of what you think is disaster, I see the mercy of God. Can you see what I see? I see Christ coming back on the clouds of glory again to take us home to be with him forever. I see hope. I see help. I see God. Now, that's the past. Now, in the future, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 60, let me just share it with you quickly. He talked about a day coming to the nation of Israel. The actual physical nation of Israel is going to experience a revival like this world has never seen in its history. Israel will be surrounded soon with armies. The scripture says that. Abandoned, literally, by the world, except not abandoned by God. And God is going to reach down, and God is going to protect his own people, Israel, and he's going to come back. And here's the word to him that he gave to Israel. He said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." This is coming, folks. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Israel's heart is going to open to the truth of Christ. Now here's the context. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." King James language says gross darkness is going to be upon the people. A darkness that staggers us, a rebellion so deep, it has come so suddenly, it's catching people by surprise. This pushing away of everything of God, this embracing of everything that is ungodly. I find it almost inconceivable that 177 members of Congress voted against keeping babies that are born alive because of a botched abortion, of not killing them on the table. It's inconceivable that we have this kind of leadership, this kind of gross darkness coming in where it's no longer fuzzy, folks. It's murder now. It may have been fuzzy for some up to a certain point. Now, I know it's murder from conception. I know this. But it's not fuzzy. We're becoming like the people of the nations that God had to throw out of the land. The land spewed them out. Their deeds were so evil. And we've taken gross evil now, and we're calling it good. We're calling it reproductive rights. The right to kill for convenience sake. When you cross that line, folks, mark my word, there's no stopping. Deep darkness will cover the people. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And then you will see and become radiant. Your heart will swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. That's God's promise to the nation of Israel. But you always see through the scriptures the pattern of God is that when darkness comes, light comes to counter it. Amen. And though this world may be dark, the promise that I have and the promise that you have is that we will have inside these earthen vessels where we live, where we walk, what we do, there will be light, there will be life, there will be freedom, there will be hope, there will be strength. We will have a song, we will have a message, we will have a voice. When the world is shaking its fist, we'll be reaching out the hand of God's tenderness. When the world can't see a way out, we will see the one who is the way out. When the world can't speak anything but vilification of one another, we will have a message of hope and of love and of redemption, of a way through and a way out. Just like the Apostle Paul was able to tell the people in Acts chapter 27, the boat's going to fall apart, folks, but all of us are going to make it. If you will listen to my voice, if you will do what I tell you to do, we're all going to make it. There's going to be lots of wood in a moment. This whole thing's going to splinter apart. But there's going to be enough wood for everybody. Grab a piece and away we go. We're heading to shore and we're going to make it by the grace of Almighty God. That's light. That's life. And that's something that you and I are going to have. We're going to have to walk in light. We're going to have to cherish light. We're going to have to be a people of light. And so the question is, how do we get this light? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now listen, it goes deeper. And this is the condemnation. This is what condemns men to darkness. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And this is my whole point tonight. As the Church of Jesus Christ, if we're going to make a difference in this coming time, we must turn from sin. We must turn away from what God says is wrong and turn to what is right. No more excuses. We must turn to what God says is right. Speaking the truth, working for a living, that we might have something to give to somebody who has need, as much as we're able to do so. walking away from all forms of sexual immorality. All forms, every form of it. Unless you love your deeds, you see, then you won't come to the light. And if you don't have light, all that you have left is darkness. You see, there were half of those in the last days, Jesus said, thought they were ready, but they weren't because they had no light. They had no fuel source inside of them to give them light. You can't escape it. A car doesn't run if you don't put gas in it. Christian life can't be lived without truth. Try as we may, all we end up with, Jesus himself said, if the light that be in you be darkness. In other words, if you've known these truths and you played this silly game of living in sin with God, how deep that darkness can get. There's no deeper delusion than a religious one. No deeper darkness than religious darkness. And so my prayer is simply this. God, turn us from sin. I'm reading a book right now called Leadership Pain. It's an excellent book. I would recommend it for people in leadership. But the statistics, anonymous surveys that have been done in the Christian church, the statistics are mind-staggering. The numbers of people involved in pornography, the numbers of people committing adultery, the numbers of people stealing in the workplace, the numbers of pastors who don't want to be in the pulpit. And if they could do something else, they would leave immediately. The captivity of people who thought they could play with sin and get away with it, only to realize that the darkness that they feared is coming upon them. But when you add religion to it, it becomes a deep, deep darkness. Turning away from sin is not an option in the Christian life. It's the essence of receiving the light of God, the life that Christ offers us, the freedom, the hope for the future. Here's a couple of prayer requests before we pray tonight. Somebody said, I want prayer to put away an immoral relationship with my live-in girlfriend, to stop drinking and to open my heart to receive Christ's love. Now, this is somebody, the way this is worded, this is somebody who actually is going to church because they wouldn't know the terminology without it. This is somebody who's not a stranger to truth, but yet has chosen to be estranged from truth. Another one says, I walked away from Jesus for greed and for a relationship. I've become an alcoholic. I'm filled with greed and half-truth. Bring back the King. That's somebody who was online listening to a Sunday sermon 2 weeks ago. You know, turning away from sin is not as hard as people think. Just do it. Like the Bible says, let him who stole steal no more. Doesn't say how, just don't do it. Just stop. You don't have to do that anymore. Stop. You got your hand in the till in work. Stop stealing and start trusting God. Believe him for the strength. Believe him for the power. Believe him that when darkness comes on the nation, you're going to have light in your life. It's within your power to get up and get out. It's within your power, because if you are a Christian, you have the power of God in your life in this earthen vessel. It's within your power to get up and get out. Stop the excuses. Get up and get out. Do what you know is right. Walk in the truth of God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So even being here tonight is fruitless if you're living in sin. And you know you're in sin. It's pointless to be here. God's not listening to you. If you regard iniquity in your heart, he'll not hear you. But the heart that he does hear is the man or woman that says, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I don't want to make excuses anymore. I want to walk with God. I want light in this vessel. I want power in my words. I want my life to make a difference. I want to stand and be reckoned with in this generation. I want my voice to have power. I want tenderness of God in my hands. I want the strength of God in my life. I want my children to be able to look at me and say, my dad or my mom is a man or woman of God. I want my family to be able to look. I want to come to the place where there's no more going to bed at night with a sickened feeling in my stomach. No more getting up and dreading the next day. I want to get up with bounce in my step. I want to get up with light in my eyes. And so I want to pray tonight, because we won't have the light if we're not willing to walk in it. So I want to pray, God, turn the church of Jesus Christ from sin in this generation. Purify us, cleanse us, oh God. Come like a whirlwind to the temple again and throw over the tables and chase the goats out. God Almighty, this is your temple. This body is your temple, Lord. And so whatever you need to overthrow, overthrow it. Get rid of my excuses. Get rid of my doves. Get rid of all the stuff I brought into the temple that's disgracing your name. And make this a house of prayer, a place to be reckoned with, a place that brings glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Those are my thoughts on faith and prayer tonight. God Almighty, help us. God, help us, especially New York City. I know you weren't raised in the Bible, Bill. I get that. Neither was I. There's a point in your life. There's a point where you just say, I'm going with God. No matter what it costs me, no matter who says what, let them laugh, let them mock, but I'm going with God. I'm going to walk with God. In those early years, I did what God called me to do, and I pray for the same grace in my heart today. I took back and restored what I had taken by fraud. Things that I had done wrong, I did the best I knew how to make it right. There's something in the Bible called restitution. It's making past wrongs right as much as it's possible. I asked forgiveness to people I needed to ask it from. Even a motorcycle gang member that I'd been in a fist fight with when I was off duty. God told me to make restitution, and I did. I couldn't find him. I did my darndest to find him. And when I couldn't find him, I said, Lord, why did you ask me to do that? He said, I just wanted to know if you would obey me or not. There's a choice. We choose to walk with God. We choose to walk away from sin. We choose it. I've told the story several times here. I was just a brand new Christian, and I'm reading my Bible. I got off duty in the morning. I'm heading home at a 36-mile drive, and I would get off at 7 or so in the morning, so I would stop and have breakfast on the way home. And I was sitting in a restaurant, and I had my Bible, my breakfast. It was a phenomenal breakfast. That's why I stopped there, and my pint of beer. And here I am, Bible, breakfast, beer, 3 B's. And then I just started reading. I'd never heard a sermon on drinking. Just didn't seem to be a problem to me. I used to be a heavy drinker. Now I was just a light drinker. So, I mean, that's all right, I guess. That's what I thought. And then I opened up the Bible and I started reading about when the angel came to John the Baptist's parents and said he's going to be a man who turns many from their sin unto God. And wine will never touch his lips. I remember reading that. I thought, huh, I'd like to be used to turn many people to God. And if that's what it takes for my lips to be used by God, then I'm done with this. And I remember pushing it across the table, and that's 39 or so years ago. Never touched it since. Turning from what the Bible clearly reveals to your heart is wrong is a choice. You want crooked lips touched by alcohol? Go right ahead. You want lips that the Holy Spirit's going to flow through? There's some choices we have to make. That's just one illustration. All through the years when God would speak, I remember reading the Bible and I read, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And I blurted out, "All right, that's easy for you to say." You know, there's some pretty tough water under the bridge when Pastor Teresa and I first got married. Mostly because of me, almost exclusively because of me. I was angry, I was selfish. I drank a lot. And I said, "God, I can't do this. I want to." And he said, "No, you can't, but I can if you'll let me." No greater compliment she's ever given me than one she gave me recently. She said to me, "I feel so safe with you." And that was not our testimony years ago. I guess the point I'm making is if you want light, you have to make a choice. There's so many people, I see repetitive prayer requests from people around the country, you know, just help me put this away, help me put that away. And you've been sending in the same prayer requests for months. Have you ever thought that it's just sin and you just need to ask God for the grace to stop sinning? You're robbing your family of a father and a husband. You're robbing your workplace of an honest employee. You're robbing your friends of truth. And you're sitting there with something that God says, "If you get up and walk away, I'll give you the power to do it. I'll give you the power." Because that's what the gospel is all about. And that will become your testimony. "I couldn't, but God did." But you make the choice.